Aloha mai kako. My name is Kainoa Kaumehi-Iva Rego, and welcome to Palaka Podcast. It is my distinct honor and privilege to be the inaugural guest host for today's episode. This, my friends, is a gathering place of sorts for Hawaii's Democrats to get the latest and greatest info on what the Democratic Party of Hawaii is doing. Named after a movement in the mid-1970s by a young University of Hawaii Law School graduate named David Hagino, he brought the concept of palaka into island politics with a 22-page pamphlet he called Palaka Power. The pamphlet suggested an ordering of priorities by the new state constitutional convention in the summer of 1978. Hagino and his friends, one of whom was a young man named John Waihe'e, who later became Hawaii's governor, wanted to cement state power in local hands. Palaka Power stood for a strong pro-union attitude, the limiting of growth by conserving fuel and water while banning desalinization plants and nuclear power, the rejection of initiative, elected judges and prosecutors, and the perpetuation of a local value system in which family and friends are of the utmost importance. The highly symbolic plaid worn by plantation workers these politicians felt had been oppressed was the perfect rallying cloth. And so it is the perfect rallying cry for all Democrats across the state. In terms of my own background, I've been a member of the party since 2015. It's been my honor to serve in various positions within the party, including as Director of Fundraising for the Oahu Young Democrats, National Committee Woman for the Young Democrats of Hawaii, State Central Committee Representative for Senate District 12, and Co-Chair for the Convention Committee in 2018 and 2020. Currently, I'm serving as the Treasurer of the Democratic Party of Hawaii, President of the Young Democrats of Hawaii, and the State Central Committee member, non-male, for the Hawaiian Affairs Caucus. We understand that our membership, that you and I, are the backbone of the party. Our goal is to provide Hawaii Democrats with current and accurate information about party events, campaigns, elections, and conventions. Palaka Podcast is part of how we hope to realize our goal. We've got an exciting guest for today's show. Chair of the Democratic Party of Hawaii, Ms. Kealii Lopez, will be joining us to give us an update on the state of the state party and answer some questions. So sit back and relax with Palaka Podcast while we talk story about the Democratic Party of Hawaii. Aloha Kealii and welcome to Palaka Podcast. How are you today?
Aloha Kainoa. I really appreciate also being your inaugural guest for Palaka Podcast. So thank you for inviting me to be here and especially with the audience.
For sure. We're very excited to have you. You're a busy lady. So being able to talk with you and share some of your mana'o with the membership is awesome. Let me just give you a couple of minutes, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Probably what folks don't know about me is that I'm actually really a country girl, mostly raised in Wamanalo and living now in Nanakuli. And what's also interesting, I think, is having had a father who came all the way from Massachusetts as a Marine and met my mother here while they were in Pali Lanes, actually. They both were bowlers. And kind of having that mixed background, the hapa background here in Hawaii, to me was very formative because I had opportunity to see how my father, having come to Hawaii, learned from my mother's family about how to not so much fit in, but how to navigate, how to figure out a best way to work with and be involved with people whose home this is. Right. And him recognizing that just because Hawaii was part of the United States now didn't all of a sudden make him somehow more empowered than those indigenous people who call this place home. And to me, that's something I try to keep in mind as I work with people who I think often forget to honor and recognize that the people of Hawaii have to and are working at determining our own destiny. And I think the degree to which people see their role as helping and facilitating that is a great, great, and I appreciate that. And that they need to recognize that we should determine the direction, though. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they're on board and willing to help us. So that was important. The other things I think that was formative for me was, you know, we grew up in those times that I didn't live in Wamanalo. So Wamanalo, my grandmother had homestead, and that was always where we went back to. When my parents couldn't afford, they were working class, when they couldn't afford the increase in rent, always went back home to my grandma's house. We lived in Halava housing. This was pre-Aloha Stadium days. There used to actually be a Halava Elementary way back then. And then we moved from that housing to John Rogers housing, which was over by the airport, which also we had to move from because the airport was expanded. And then moved to Kukui Gardens. And luckily enough for us, we were able to move back to Wamanalo and pretty much grew up in my teen years there. But the reason I say that that's important is as a young person, I didn't realize that that was housing. You know, everyone else, there wasn't as much of a stigma, I don't believe, or at least as a young person, I didn't see it at all, as there is now around that. But it also was helpful for me to understand that when sometimes people who have the least appreciate what they do have the most. Absolutely. And that's something I've come to see and learn. So, I mean, and that I'm a mom, a grandma, daughter, you know, I'm involved in a lot of other things, but being part of the Democratic Party is for me important part of where, you know, I hope to be involved in making a difference here in my home.
Sure. Along those lines, what motivated you to run for state party chair?
I think what, you know, one of the things that we, as especially those of us who grew up in large Hawaiian families, you often do things because you see it needs to be done. You definitely don't wait to be told what to do.
You know, I'm 1,000% on that page. Yes, yes.
It's just the way it goes. You don't stand around waiting for someone to say, do this, do that. And you see something needs to be done and you jump in and you're not standing there waiting for someone else. Although I do have to admit, I was trying to find someone else willing to run. but that's not normal. You got to jump in when you see something needs to be done. You get in there and you see that as part of your kuleana. And so for me, one of the things that I became very aware, so I got involved in the Democratic Party in an active way, maybe only about 6 years ago. And one of the things that I recognize in Hawaii and seeing how we're changing so much, I can't imagine anyone other than if you only moved here maybe five years ago, recognize how significantly it's changed. And I'm sure back even in my mom's days and my grandmother's days, they saw it changing a lot. I really do see it moving in a direction that for me is not something I'm comfortable with. It's not a future I want for Hawaii. And for me, that future is that Hawaii is beginning to feel like anywhere else in the United States. Mm-hmm. I don't get a sense that unless we're more purposeful about saying we want to continue to be the place where there's aloha, place where there is cultural diversity, a place where not having a majority, and it's primarily a community made up of a lot of minority or minority groups. There's some balance and way that people engage with one another, and I see that changing. And it's not something I like seeing at all.
Sure, sure.
I figured the Democratic Party is the party of Hawaii. If there's going to be change that is made in this state, it's going to have to be through the Democratic Party. And part of that is having to work towards getting more people involved and understanding that we cannot sit on the sidelines anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah. Totally agree with a lot of what you just said, especially the part about how Hawaii is changing a lot. I knew that it was significant when I stood at a corner of a street and said, wasn't that the old such and such building, right? And my frame of reference is much shorter than your frame of reference, right? Okay, so taking all of that into account, then let's get a little bit more in the nitty-gritty. And can you articulate what it means to be a Democrat to you personally?
Well, to me, what it means to be a Democrat is to have reverence for other people, reverence for other cultures, reverence for people I don't agree with, reverence for the perspectives that people have, again, even if I don't agree with them. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I see as a Democrat is that we're the party where most anyone belongs. And what I mean by that is if you have a broad perspective around wanting to do well by others. So you have an interest in uplifting your neighbors. You have an interest in addressing social justice issues. You have an interest in eliminating poverty. You have an interest in welcoming people and having them feel like they're part of the community and bringing them into the fold. For me, that's it. I mean, it's more than that as it relates to the Democratic Party. But for me, it really is around the essence and value, I think, that most represents Hawaii is the Democratic Party.
Just so you know, I'm going to steal that. That's a fantastic answer. And I think, at least for me and my experience, is definitely the essence of why I transitioned from being a Republican to a Democrat. I think at the end of the day, life taught me a bunch of lessons that made me more reverential towards the role others play in keeping and lifting one up beyond your circumstances. So that was a fantastic question. Fantastic answer. Now, you know, you've assumed various leadership roles. What was the specific role you had? CEO of Olelo?
Yeah, I was the president and CEO of Olelo Community Television for about 7 years. And prior to that, I was the COO and had been involved in community media. So I really appreciate Adam helping us get our podcast going today. So thank you, Adam.
Shout out to Adam. Absolutely.
And after that, I went from being the president and CEO of Olelo Community Television to being the director of the Department of Commerce Consumer Affairs under Governor Abercrombie. That was probably one of the most rewarding experiences. And at this time, I work at a law firm and involved at advocacy and lobbying at the Capitol, but definitely lots of different types of leadership roles, working in nonprofits in particular. And actually, when I was with the state, I used to talk about how the state was the most nonprofit I'd ever worked for.
I like that. Okay, so given your extensive background and sort of leadership positions and the current one you occupy now, and your respect and sensitivity towards Native Hawaiian people, how does being a Native Hawaiian woman inform your leadership style?
I'd say it informs it in every aspect. For me, it's understanding what the challenges are in general of being a woman, separate from being a Native Hawaiian woman, but just being a woman, and recognizing that there's a lot I have to offer and can bring to the table, and not to let other people's perspectives of what women do paint any kind of shade over that. And I really find too that I don't think people intentionally, I mean, when you think of so many of the men who support really strong women, And many do. I think it's a matter of how do we have respect for each other and uplift one another and, again, have reverence. And as it relates to being a Native Hawaiian, absolutely. I mean, this is my home. I'm becoming more aware of what my kuleana and responsibilities are. I recall when I became the director of the Department of Commerce, Consumer Affairs, you know, some of my Hawaiian folks were like, geez, you're going over to the, you know, the dark side. And I said, no, I'm going to be learning stuff. So when we have our own, when we have federal recognition and our own government, I'm going to be able to bring some knowledge to that. So yeah,
we're ready, right?
Yes, we're ready.
We're ready. Absolutely. We have folks ready.
Absolutely. And for me, the Democratic Party is, folks think it is challenging. Because we have such a diverse group. I mean, like anywhere else, there's people you make happy and there's people you really tick off. And I do that really well, by the way. I upset people really, really, really. I did a bang-up job. If that's a requirement as the chair, I got it.
Nailed it.
I nailed it. But the issue there is I actually enjoy the job. I really enjoy working with people like those of you who made today possible. Lots of dedicated volunteers, people who have been with the party for decades, and then people who just joined the other day. I mean, they all have a desire to make a difference. So that's something I always want to be part of.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Kelly, let's reflect back on the period leading up to your eventual election in 2018. Okay. 2016 left the Democratic Party of Hawaii deeply divided. And you walked right into the middle of that when you ran for chair in 2018. And at your first SEC meeting, subsequent to the convention, you made an attempt to bring everybody together. Can you expand on that? Can you talk about that?
Well, it was one of the reasons I did run as well, so I'm glad you bring that up, was that I saw that the party was heavily divided. I had just joined the State Central Committee in late November and noticed that there was still such a morass of just hard feelings. And it was clear that people took a lot of what happened with Hillary and Bernie very personally. And my sense was that a lot of that came from, in some ways, assumptions that each of everyone had about each other, whether it was folks on the Bernie side who saw Hillary supporters as establishment Democrats, which is the terms, versus the purity test for progressives, and rather than from my thought was this continued infighting was not going to benefit the people of Hawaii, and that we were really doing a disservice to the people of the Democratic Party and Hawaii by continuing that internal fighting. And I'm clear, everyone is involved because they want to make a difference. So part of it for me was to be able to say, look, rather than us focus on the things that we don't agree on, because there are things that members in the party don't agree on, was for us to focus on the many, many aspects of areas that we could agree on, and that we ought not necessarily have assumptions or preconceived notions about what motivates someone. And I'm hopeful that what people have seen, again, I was seen as a corporatist. I don't actually know what that is. But I think there was an assumption around how I was going to be, and that I had an agenda, and that these people who were supporting me had the desire to have the Democratic Party become some kind of establishment Democrat machine of sorts. And what I did was basically do what I hope everyone else would have done, which is to step back and say what's important.
Now, where do you get that ability to see a situation for what it is, and then attempt to bring two sides together that for over 2 years simply refused to work with one another?
It gets back to that issue of reverence. There was a party member who, he and I got into it actually at convention. He's on the executive committee. You know who you are when you hear this. And there were things said about me and who I was and what I was going to do. And I could have taken that quite personally, and actually I did. But when I stepped back, yeah, I realized, you know what, Kaylee? Some people don't know who you are. They don't understand that. So your job is to help them learn that. Rather than be hoo-hoo and all upset because they had this perspective, was to have reverence for the fact that that person cares about the party. Might not know Kaylee, but cares and wants things to work. Once I was able to do that and say, okay, everyone has value. Everyone has value. And even though I don't agree and I might not like their techniques and style, is how do you step back and think about the fact that I really truly believe most people have good in their heart. They really are trying to do something that they believe is important and such. And so if I don't agree with them, rather than be upset at them that they're wrong, because of course I'm right.
Naturally.
Is rather than be angry at them, my job is to help them see it differently. Right? My job is to help them realize there's a different way to look at stuff and not judge. That's, if anything, the message I hope and try to convey is we have to stop judging each other. We have to stop having assumptions or believing what someone's intentions are. I really believe you don't know what someone's intentions are unless you ask them.
Now, is that a leadership skill you've derived from your experience? Like, where does that ability to view something from more than just your perspective come from?
I hope it's actually part of being someone who grew up in Hawaii and recognizing that because we were such a diverse group of people and had to have aloha for one another, that's something we learned. A good example for me was my early years of becoming politically involved. I'll start there. My parents were involved in the neighborhood board. They were actually involved in the Democratic Party when we lived in Wamanalo. And Mel's Market is still there, but sadly it's not a market anymore. But next to Mel's Market, there was a small, we used to call it Greasy Spoon. It had a different name. But basically did hamburgers and that type of thing, was owned by a local family. And they were going to sell, and a McDonald's was going to be built. And so one of the things that they went to the neighborhood board was to change the zoning. And if they changed the zoning, they could build a bigger McDonald's, larger parking lot, larger McDonald's. And my twin and I think we must have been about 12 or 13, sat outside Mel's Market for an entire day trying to get people to sign a petition. And the petition was to not allow for the zoning change to occur, which would have resulted in a larger McDonald's. And part of it for me was recognizing then, it was interesting to see who signed and who didn't sign. And it just was a learning experience for me. And part of that was, I'll just hold it. Part of that was that I noticed who signed and who didn't sign. So if you're familiar with Wamanalo, there's the beach lot side. Can imagine folks that live there, homestead, and farm lots. And a lot of people from the beach lot side absolutely signed. They had moved to Wamanalo. They wanted to have the country stay country. Interestingly enough, a lot of the homestead folks and farm lot folks were kind of upset that we were actually even trying to keep McDonald's small. And when I spoke to them, it was because a lot of those adults wanted jobs for their children. Yeah. And even as a young person, I had a perception of that. I thought, gosh, why do my people, Native Hawaiians, want to focus on jobs like McDonald's? And the other side of me, the non-Hawaiians, were all about keeping Wamanalo country, which is what I wanted. The thing that I learned from that was the judgment. Even as a young child, I didn't recognize then that people have different life experiences and perspectives, right? So that those who lived in the homestead side, some of them were really focused on what was their priority. Getting jobs for their children, having the children be able to put food on their family's tables. And the other people were all about maintaining a lifestyle that they had come to want to have. And if anything, that's what I learned is trying to, it was a hard lesson because it still, you know, in many ways hurts to have judged people in that particular way. And it's so unfair. And it's something that we as humans in general do, and it's something that I'd like to be able to see the party move away from, is rather than focusing and taking everything personal and then judging and making assumptions about people, that we try to recognize that they're just coming from a different perspective, and how do we figure out how to move forward together?
Absolutely. I'm sure you get this question a lot, because oftentimes leaders are asked, what's your bigger, broader vision? Where do you want to see us end up? So let me ask you that question. What's your vision? What's your legacy? What do you want your time as chair? How do you want it to impact the party? And if you'd like to expand that to the state.
Well, and it does expand to the state, because for me as a legacy, all of us are busy, and I'm not into wasting my time. So I'm here because I want to see us work hard at strengthening the party. And when I say strengthen the party, it's our ability to advance initiatives, have a strong vision for Hawaii, and recognize our role in it. And again, I say it again, just be purposeful. So one, it's fundraising. As again, a lot of people are like, okay, gosh, that's boring. We need to have the funds and resources to do the work of the party. The other issue for me really is to have the party be something that no one could have ever imagined was possible. And that is to have this party really become the party that people want to be part of, are excited about, and see that actually things get done. I think what we see in this day and age is a lot of folks who have cynicism and apathy about government. And I want them to recognize that, again, the only way that's going to change is you have to get involved. It frustrates me when I hear people say, I don't do politics. What does that mean? I mean, you vote. Okay, you think, check the box. I'm an engaged citizen. I voted. Well, again, that's like the floor. I'm talking about, let's look at what the sky and the ceiling, the sky has, and be able to say, to me, when people say, I don't do politics, for me, and I'm judging again, I apologize, is you basically are giving up on Hawaii. You are quitting. You're saying, you know what, not my kuleana. I don't really care. I'm just going to keep living my life the way I want and forget everyone else. So to me, I want people, the vision for me for or the legacy is that there is no such thing as I don't do politics.
Whoa, that's a good one. I when I was at the University of Hawaii at Hilo, I had a poli-sci professor named Philip Taylor, and he defined political science as the science of who gets what. And based on that definition, right, politics isn't limited to government. It's literally a way to define the family system, right? Your parents tell you what you do and you don't get. So you're never really that far removed by that definition from politics, absolutely. Now, in the same vein of getting more folks to participate in fundraisers, it's my understanding we have two fundraisers on the horizon. Can you expand on that? Do you golf?
I don't golf, but I would really like to drive the golf cart. So we have an inaugural, you know, now that this is an inaugural podcast, we also have a golf tournament coming up, and it's in honor of for many folks who've been involved in the party for a long time, it's Glen Eda. It's going to be September 12th. It's a fundraiser, and we'd want people to who are interested in participating and being involved in that. It's golf@hawaiidemocrats.org. Again, that's September 12th. It's a golf tournament and fundraiser for the Democratic Party, again, honoring Glen Eda. The other thing we have coming up sooner than that is August 31st. It's called Poo-Poos in Politics. It's going to be at the Neil Blaisdell Center. And folks that are interested in that should contact Amy Monk at amymonk99@hotmail.com. And so she's the chair of the fundraising committee. And again, that's something we've got those two really important events.
Sure. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much for letting all of us know about that. Let's turn more now to some boots to ground questions. You've been in office for just under a year. May 27th will mark the first full year of your term. What are two initiatives you'd count as party successes thus far in your term?
Well, I think one of the things for me is having had experience in nonprofits and running a nonprofit organization. You know, it's the boring part of it, but it's creating infrastructure in a way that ensures that as new chairs come on board, there's a way to transition, and it's not where folks are feeling like they're starting from scratch all over again. And why that's important is we cannot afford to lose momentum. The work is so important that when we start moving in a particular direction, we cannot let the change in leadership and those transitions impact that momentum. So to me, that's key. Again, for some people, that's a boring issue. For me, it's something I'm very aware that's critical. The other part, I think, is that we as a party in looking at direction are probably most involved in moving from what I would say as a let's kind of just keep the doors open approach to no, there's some really significant work. We are not going to be doing Hawaii justice unless we start working aggressively. So we've got some pretty audacious goals for the party that I don't think we've had before. And I appreciate the State Central Committee, which has, I would say, taken a leap of faith in my leadership and have agreed to take on really huge projects, one of them being the next 2020 presidential preference poll. We're moving in a direction that has that process being a lot more inclusive, a lot more resources and energy going towards making that be a much more effective process than it's been in the past. And so to me, big part of it is just being intentional, purposeful, strategic, whatever the terms you want to call it, but really being able to put our focus and energy towards building confidence. You know, I want people who are out there to, when they think about the Democratic Party, they don't wonder, what is it that we do? I want them to be very clear about what we do. And more importantly, I want them to be part of the process. I want them to say, gosh, that, you know, the Democratic Party is making some significant headways. I want to be part of making that happen.
Sure. And if I could just opine on your first point, which is, though it might be boring, infrastructure is incredibly important. Now that I've been a part of two SEC terms, I have personally seen how the absence of infrastructure absolutely destroys transition and the ability then for people to work from a solid foundation. So I personally appreciate emphasis on establishing an infrastructure. On the flip side of that then, can you name two areas in which you think the party can improve moving forward, beyond those two items that you've sort of highlighted?
Just two, huh?
Just two. Mm-hmm, well, just two.
Well, okay, so for me, okay, it's going to be hard to keep it to two. One, I think, is generally many people don't know what the Democratic Party does, and don't understand why they should be involved. I think that's something we have to work on. I think the key is everyone who serves in the Democratic Party. So some folks, there's going to be some other podcasts on this as it relates to precincts, districts, regions, state central committee. You know, understanding what everyone's role is and recognizing that it actually is critical to, again, providing that infrastructure. I want us to also move away from imagining that our only role as a party is to elect Democrats. It's a critical part of what we do. Absolutely. We want to elect Democrats, and we want to elect Democrats who understand the need to move Hawaii forward and want to engage with the members of the party in doing that. But separate from that, I really want us to start shifting towards policy and public policy around what is it that we as a party think should happen in Hawaii, and begin developing our own policies and momentum behind that so that we can serve as a resource to electeds. Believe me, I have enormous appreciation for those who choose to run for office, because it is very challenging. You put yourself out there in a very significant and, I believe, vulnerable way.
I often refer to it as sausage being made, right? It's a grueling process, absolutely.
Absolutely, and I have a great appreciation for that. And like anyone else, in order to make really effective decisions, you need information and resources and people who are helping you move that forward. And I believe the party can and needs to play a bigger role in providing that kind of information to lawmakers so that they have ideally a perspective that helps them in that development of policy.
Sure. Well, that's a nice transition to my next question, which is the legislative session is set to end this Thursday on May 2nd. What were some of the party's legislative priorities, and how did they fare this year?
Well, I'd like to say that we fared really well, but then I would not be truthful. We had some pretty ambitious goals, I'd say, priorities for the party, one being increase in the minimum wage, or the other was increasing funding for education. And the other, maybe less popular, was the legalization of recreational marijuana. And most of those didn't move forward. But what I think they at least did was begin the dialogue around how do we actually move these pretty significant agendas forward. Most people involved, if you've been involved in legislation here in Hawaii, sometimes it can take long. And that's, you know, maybe that's not something people want to be able to tolerate. And I get that. It can take multiple years, multiple attempts to get something passed. So I would say it was a disappointing year to some degree. On the flip side of that, though, I really like to be someone who steps back and says, what are we going to learn from this? What are we going to do moving forward? I'm not one who likes to cry over spilt milk. And, you know, I'd rather figure out, you know, how are we going to craft that for the future? I'm hopeful that there are other initiatives that maybe weren't priorities for us that do move forward as relates to the mail-in voting, ideally bail reform. The other issues were to some degree not 100% decriminalization of marijuana, but at least shifting some of that. So I think those are things we want to focus on. And for sure, you know, I would say I was extremely disappointed that the minimum wage bill did not pass. I thought for sure with a state as committed to working people in Hawaii, which I believe that's kind of a cornerstone of the Democratic Party, that we could have passed that. Again, I'm not going to lay blame at anyone's feet. I know people like to do that. My perspective, and I shared this with folks at the Maui convention, I'm one of those people, the best thing you can do is look in the mirror, because I can't change anyone else. I can change me. And so for me, it's looking at, okay, what is the role the party plays moving forward in being better prepared, for the next time around, because there's going to be a next time and we're going to push hard. We're going to push really hard. But you know what? We're also going to have our ducks in a row. We're going to have a very well thought out strategy far in advance. And I'm saying let's work on it tomorrow already.
Right. Perfect. So tell us then, what's coming down the pipeline? Are there any upcoming special projects and or initiatives we should be aware of? And if so, how can we help?
Well, I think one of the bigger ones, so there's many, but probably one of the most important ones is electing a new president for the United States of America in 2020.
Yes, ma'am.
That should be like a no-brainer for anyone out there that's a Democrat or independent by any means. And so what's going to be an important part of that and the role that I believe Hawaii can play is our presidential preference poll. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's an opportunity for members of the Democratic Party to come together and select or identify their top candidates who will then have representation from Hawaii at the Democratic National Convention. For those of you who'd been involved in the past, that's what happened in 2008 when we had the convention and looked at Senator Barack Obama at the time and Hillary Clinton. And then again in 2016 when we looked at Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. That's going to happen again. And as we already know, and it's exciting that there's such a full slate, the only way people get to participate in selecting those, identifying those candidates or the nominee is you have to be a registered Democrat. So I'd been voting Democrat ever since I could, but I literally didn't become a registered Democrat until 2008. So that's going to be a significant process. We're looking at generating revenue for that because we've got to do fundraising to make it happen. It's going to be entirely as much as possible. We'd like to have that be as inclusive a process for people. And I think it's exciting. So the State Central Committee is going to be voting on that soon. And it's going to take a lot of resources and people power.
Sure. You got anything else coming down the pipeline?
Well, we've got we're going to be doing a lot of fundraisers. The party, the only way the party is able to do the work that it does, and again, as I said, the State Central Committee took a leap of faith, and a big part of that is we want to be able to do training for people. We want to be able to, again, have our members understand what their role is, find a way to engage people almost as soon as they become members. The other is to take advantage and leverage digital media.
Absolutely.
All of these things. So just more and more and more and more.
Yeah. Well, it's about that time. Kaylee, we are close to being Paul. I'd like to thank you for being here and chatting with me and you know, really letting our members out there get to know you. I'd like to close the show with this. If there was one piece of advice you could give any Democrat in terms of how to be engaged and how to make a difference, what would it be?
Well, separate from, you know, it's not enough to join the party, and it's great that people vote. That is absolutely critical. But sorry, folks, voting's not enough anymore. For me, it's learning about what's happening in your community, whether it's a neighborhood board meeting and attending those to see what's happening. I would definitely say pay attention to what's happening at the city council and your state legislature. And find if there's any bills or things that you're interested in. And even if you don't do anything, attend a hearing. Just attend a hearing and hear what people have to say and what they talk about. You know, so again, I'd say find an issue you're interested in. Attend a hearing and hear what people testify and realize for yourself you actually can. You can take the time to come down, or if you're on the neighbor island, submit testimony and recognize that there's a way to make an impact.
So, in short, take action.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you again, Chair Lopez, for joining us. We very much appreciate having you here on the inaugural episode of Palaka Podcast. And to everyone out there, mahalo for listening. And we hope you'll be back next month when we have our next Palaka Podcast. Aloha no.